Heavenly Father, we have come this morning to worship Your Majesty. We pray now that You would meet with us. We pray that You would have Your way in each heart. Help us, Lord, that all that we do might be to Your honor and glory, and we will give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 92. Number 92, For the Beauty of the Earth, we'll sing the first four verses. Shall we stand as we sing? As we read our litany to the veterans, it's in your worship folder. We will read it responsibly. Dear God of peace and creator of all that is good, we give You thanks.
We give thanks and praise for all those who are willing to serve.
For those in the Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard.
For those serving in the Army, the Marines, and the Space Force.
For our men and women who are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice.
For those who have family, friends, loved ones, and careers.
To ensure that in our world there could be an added measure
of hope, freedom, peace, and equality.
We thank You for each one who left to serve and did not return.
For the price they paid for freedoms and blessings we enjoy.
We remember the words of Your Son, who also gave His life.
Greater love has no one than to lay down their life for others.
We thank You for those who left to serve and did return.
Many came home with physical and emotional scars.
Scars we may not see, but which they will bear the rest of their lives.
We pray Your healing touch may rest upon each of them.
We thank You for those who are serving today.
Serving faithfully on every continent and ocean.
On bases across our nation and around the world.
Thank You for their commitment. Keep them safe.
Forgive us for what we have done to Your perfect creation.
Forgive us for what we have done to our brothers and sisters.
Guide and direct all of those in leadership over our military today.
May they seek peace in a world with liberty and justice for all.
Remind us that we too are called to serve and to give our lives for others.
We are called to fight evil, injustice, and hopelessness.
And commissioned for the eternal cause of building God's kingdom.
May we hear You say, well done, good and faithful soldiers.
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns you'd like to share with the family of God? I appreciate all of those of you who have been asking about Catherine. She's doing better. However, when you've only got one leg to stand on, it makes it a little bit rough. So we have not been getting out very much at all this week. It's hard for her to get over the threshold and down to one step. Then we take her out the car in a wheelchair, and then she has to get up into the car. So it's kind of rough on her, and a lot of times we just don't do it. But keep her in your prayers. She's got a doctor's appointment Thursday. Perhaps she'll get the stitches out then, and perhaps she'll find out how much weight she can then put on her foot. But we have been making it okay, but we appreciate your concern. Any others? Okay, Bob Martin, also Mary Ann and Alan and Laura, keep them in your prayers. Unspoken and for Chris. How's your horse doing?
He's not doing good at all.
Oh my. Okay. Oh my. Well, we will pray. He is a part of God's creation, and we want the not only the great physician, but the great veterinarian to look over him. Yes. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, our prayer course is number 174. 174 in your hymnal, also on the screen. His name is Wonderful.
Jesus, my Lord, He's our great.
This is All Saints Sunday. And as we prepare to go to prayer this morning, we want to remember those who have gone on before us. So often we get the idea that this church is built upon our labor and sweat and tears. But folks, we don't know how many hundreds of people have come before us to make all this possible. And we want to take this time to remember those who have passed on during this past year. First, let's remember Julia McCoyne. There we go. Also, Alice McNally, Don Hood, Shirley Payne, Linda Thompson. I realize that this list is very, very partial. There are many who are near and dear to you all who have passed on. Are there any of those names you'd like for us to remember this morning? Mother and sister. Father-in-law. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this Veterans Sunday, on this All Saints Sunday, on this Communion Sunday, when we remember the one who died for every one of us, we give you thanks and praise for those who have gone before us. We thank you, Lord, for their lives. We thank you for the trail that they have blazed. We thank you for the work that they've done to build your church. We thank you for the work they've done to reach out into this world to draw others into your love and grace. We thank you, Lord, this morning for Rockwood United Methodist Church. Remind us, Lord, of all of the hundreds who have gone before us. Remind us, Lord, of those that even went before them, even before there was a Rockwood United Methodist Church, who laid foundations, who blazed trails, who set things in motion so that on this February 7th, 2021, we could gather here and worship and praise you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love and care. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with all of those in the military, those who are serving around the globe. May they feel your presence and your peace and your power. We pray that you would be with their families, Lord. Give them comfort and strength. We pray, Lord, that you would remind us of all of those who have gone before them, those who have served in places we've never even heard of, those who left home never to return, Lord, those who left home and returned and still don't feel at home because of what they've been through. We thank and praise you for each one of them, Lord. We pray that you would be with them today. We pray that you'd be with all of our leaders. Guide and direct them, Lord. Remind them that you are our commander, that you are the one whose orders we are to follow. You're the one who promised us your grace and strength so that we could do whatever it is we're called to do. Thank you, Lord, for this great nation that we're able to be a part of. Guide and direct us to do your will, and we'll give you all the praise. For we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Again, let me remind you that the receptacles are at this side and back door for your offerings. We thank you for your faithfulness through all of this. They are there. Instead of the choir singing an offertory this morning, we're going to have a time to recognize our veterans. Thank you, Keith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for not only these who have served so faithfully. We thank you, Lord, for these who are serving here at home now. And we thank you for their generosity and for their giving to build your kingdom. We pray now that you would bless the gifts, bless the giver, bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remain standing, if you would, please, for the reading of the gospel. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, their leprosy disappeared. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God, I'm healed." He fell face down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." You may be seated. A 3-year-old was given a new toy. The mother then asked her, "What's the magic word?" The girl thought a minute and then said, "Excuse me, please, thank you, you're welcome, God bless you, and I love you, Mommy." She wouldn't be sure she had it covered. You know, we're not born with a sense of gratitude, and as we approach this Thanksgiving season, we're going to be talking about this. We come into this world screaming out our demands, and we know some people that never got over that. If any of you that have been around a newborn know that we are born self-centered and impatient. That newborn, if he or she, I'm sorry, but I still think that it's all he or she, not anything else, but if he or she wants something, hold me, feed me, burp me, change me, rock me, walk me, sing to me, and do it now, if we could understand what they're saying, it'd probably be one of those things, among others. And that's okay, because they're babies and it's a survival mechanism. Hopefully, as we grow up, we learn a little more tact. We learn how to be grateful. We learn how to be appreciative. We learn how to say, "Thank you." Perhaps one of the first encounters we've had with being grateful and being thankful is grace at meals. Of course, a lot of the things that families used to do have kind of fallen by the wayside, and hopefully that's not necessarily one of them in our homes. But in so many houses now, it's just a matter of first come, first serve, dig in. I heard about a wife that was upset with her husband. She said, "Your supper is in the cupboard. The ingredients are listed in the cookbook on page 35. But so often we take it for granted. When in my younger days, I had the opportunity to direct over 20,000 miles of teen choir concert tours. We usually had between 30 and 40 kids, plus 3 or 4 adults went along to kind of keep an eye on things. We were in 26 or 7 different states, a couple times in Canada, an 8-day concert tour in Puerto Rico. And during the course of those trips, I adopted 2 things for certain when it came to mealtime. And when you've got a family that size, it takes some planning. We'd stop at a restaurant. We usually chartered a tour bus, and the tour bus would pull in, and I'd go into the restaurant. And I'd say, "I've got 35, 40, 45 people out here on the bus. They've all earned their own money for this concert tour. Can you help us out somehow?" Usually the restaurants are very accommodating. "Yeah, we'll give them the drinks free and we'll give them a discount, etc." So when we would go in, I would request the smoking section. Because you put 35 or 40 or 45 people in the smoking section, it'd probably pretty well fill it up. And the few that were left in there probably would hesitate to smoke in front of all these young people. So the whole restaurant became smoke-free. The second thing we would do, just before we ate, we would join hands all around that dining room. And we would have prayer. And I would make sure, I wouldn't get loud, I wouldn't jump the pews or anything, but I'd make sure it was loud enough to where everybody in the room could hear it. And it was always interesting to me to notice how many people would stop eating and bow their heads during it. They would join with us. Samuel Leibowitz was a brilliant criminal lawyer. It's estimated that he saved some 78 people from the electric chair. Not one of those ever thanked him. Art King had a radio program entitled Job Center of the Air. He found jobs for some 2,500 people, only 10 of whom thanked him. An official in charge of the Dead Letter Office in Washington, D.C., reported that one year he had received hundreds of thousands of letters to Santa Claus, kids sending in their list of what they wanted for Christmas. He said after Christmas, only one letter came to Santa to say thank you. In our scripture today, Jesus was on the border between Galilee and Samaria. The lepers, the scripture says, shouted out to him. They had to, because they had social distancing then too. Except then, the lepers had to stand 50 yards away. Now, to help some of you understand how far that is, Jesus was in the end zone, and the lepers were on the 50-yard line. Okay? They had to stand half a football field away from him to get his attention. Jesus told them to go and be examined by the priests. He didn't pull any magic. He didn't do any hocus pocus. He just said, okay, you want to be healed? Go and have the priest examine you. The priests were the ones that could pronounce him clean or unclean. Said on the way, all of a sudden the leprosy had disappeared. Scripture tells us only one came back to him. And he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan with leprosy was about as low on the totem pole as you could get. Samaritans were bad enough, but one of them with leprosy was even worse than that. But he was the one that came back to thank Jesus. Now, it'd be awfully easy to look at the other nine and to have some things to say about their lack of gratitude, but before we do that, let's look at our own habits of thanks and praise. Three things for which we ought to be thankful. First of all, we ought to be thankful for the Christian church. Folks, I'm sure you know that it's under attack today. Not just in places halfway around the globe. Right here in the United States of America. So often we worry about the things we're not able to give our children. A single mother one time was telling of how she made less than $500 a month. With that, she wasn't able to give her children designer shoes, designer clothes, and all of the things they wanted. I just saw online yesterday, it said kids today want an iPhone 10. In my day, we were glad to get Crayola 64. Times have changed a little bit. But she told that she wasn't able to give her kids all of these cars and trips to Europe or all of these other things that so many kids did have. But she said there were two things she made sure they always had. The first was her unconditional love. And the second was every Sunday she took them to Sunday school and church. She said it didn't seem like very much at the time, but it did give each of them a foundation for the rest of their lives. Think where our nation would be today if it wasn't for the people of God seeking opportunities to worship God and to share God's love with others. Secondly, we can be thankful for our Christian faith. 1 Corinthians 13, the final verse says, "And now abides these three, faith, hope, and love." It's through Christian faith that we can share and experience these in our own storms of life and then share them with our neighbors. I'm told that in Portugal, there's a monastery perched on a rock pinnacle that's over 300 feet high. 300 feet, again, in Methodist terminology, that's the length of a football field. Imagine tilting that football field up on end. That's how high that rock was. The only way to get to that monastery for tourists or anybody else is to climb into a basket that is then hoisted up 300 feet to the top of that pinnacle. One day, an American tourist was getting into the basket and he noticed the rope was frayed and tattered. And he asked the guy down below that was arranging things, he said, "How often do you change this rope?" He said, "Every time it breaks." Oh, isn't faith the wonderful thing? That's how we are usually with our faith, too. We don't bother doing much with it until something in life breaks. We need to learn to acknowledge that faith and trust we have in God every day. Thirdly, we can be thankful for the Christian gospel. The sign in the store window said, "Puppies for sale." A young boy went into the store and he said, "How much are the puppies?" The store owner said, $40. The boy pulled some crumpled up money out of his pocket and looked at it and looked at it and looked at it. And he says, "I've got $2.37. Can I at least look at them?" Strona said, "Sure." And he whistled. And out of a large box at the back of the store came Lady, the mother, and all of her little puppies. Five little tiny balls of fur. One of the puppies was lagging way behind the others and seemed to be having trouble walking. The boy said, "What's wrong with that puppy?" The store owner said that the veterinarian had examined that puppy and discovered that it was missing one of its hip sockets. He said it would always limp. It would always be lame. A little boy became excited. He said, "That's the puppy I want." The store owner says, No, you really don't want to buy that one. But if you do want them, I'll give them to you." Little boy stood up straight and tall and looked at the store owner straight in the eye and he pointed his finger and he said, "I don't want you to give him to me. That little dog is worth just as much as all of the others are, and I want to pay the full price." He said, "I'll give you $2.37 now and 50 cents a month until it's all paid off." Store owner couldn't understand. He said, "Now, but that puppy's never going to be able to run and jump and play." With that, the little boy pulled up his pant leg to reveal a badly twisted, crippled left leg that was supported by a big metal brace. He looked at the store owner and said, "I don't run so well myself. And that puppy needs somebody who understands." Where do you suppose that boy learned about that kind of unconditional love? Hopefully he learned it in a Christian church. Hopefully he learned it from somebody because of the Christian faith. Hopefully he learned it because of the Christian gospel. He learned it from the one who went to the cross for us. He learned it from the one who was human enough to understand and divine enough to forgive. That is the good news of what the gospel is all about. Jesus took our sins and our infirmities so that we could experience his love and his grace. There's something within the human spirit that resists the simple act of saying, thank you. Jesus and his disciples were entering a village when they met 10 lepers, both Jews and Samaritans. Isn't it amazing how misery can cut across social, religious, and racial lines? When we're hurting like these lepers were, prejudices seemed irrelevant. We're living in a world today that is hurting in so many ways, on so many levels. Do you realize, I don't know what the statistics are today, but 15, 20 years ago, I heard that the country on the face of the globe to which most missionaries were going was the United States of America. If that was true 15 or 20 years ago, think of what it's like today. I mean, it's bad enough that America is the laughingstock of the world on so many occasions and so many levels. But it's tragic that we're forgetting the roots that we have. A God who loved us enough to send his son to die on Calvary's cross for us. And we're still forgetting to say, thank you. It's not just a matter of thanksgiving. I had a member of one of my churches who said something very profound one time. He said, you know, he says, that's the problem with our church. Whenever there's a situation, whenever somebody's got a need, whenever there's something going on somewhere in the world, we just throw money at it. You know, sort of like walking down the street and there's the guy in the red suit collecting money for whatever, the Salvation Army or whomever it is. And we put some change or put a dollar bill in the bucket and just keep on going. That's cheap grace. I believe I shared with you that back when I was about 10 years old, 8 years old, I was 8 years old, I was in the hospital with viral meningitis. I'd gotten past the stage where I may have been contagious, just waiting for the doctor to turn me loose. One Sunday afternoon, a Salvation Army representative came by. He had a big basket, a big wicker basket, full of candy bars. He stood there talking to me for a few minutes, and then he said, here, have some candy. I reached in, I picked out a candy bar. He put the basket down in the bed, and I have some. He put in his two big hands and scooped out a whole bunch and dropped it on the bed. Now, for the last 70 years since then, every time I've passed a Salvation Army bucket, I've been paying for that candy. Not because I had to, but because it meant so much to me at the time. Folks, we got a bunch of people out there that are needing. needing mainly to know somebody loves and cares. And then we got a lot of us people that need to be able to show the world that we do appreciate. It's not a matter of, God, here's my grocery list, here's what I want you to give me. It's a matter of, God, I may not have much, but what I do have, I thank and praise you for. Do you realize that everybody in this room here this morning is among the top 5% of the richest people in the world? The top 5%. Many people don't have an automobile, don't have a roof over their heads, don't have central heat and air, don't have a nice mattress and nice warm blankets at night, don't have food in the refrigerator and in the cupboard, don't have stores so close that if they don't have what they need, they can go get them. We are blessed, folks. Wouldn't it be great if we could make every day of the year a day of thanksgiving and praise? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for all that you've given to us. We pray now that you would help us, that we might indeed be a thankful people. May we show that thanks by our worship and praise of you. May we show our thanks and appreciation by the way we share with others. And we'll give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. Amen. On page 12 in your hymnal and also on the screen is the prayer of confession and pardon. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray in silence. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. We're reminded that the same night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, he took the cup, and he gave thanks. At this time, I would invite you to come down and pick up one of the cups off the altar rail. If you want to pick up one for two or three people around you, you may do that, and then return to your seat. I'm sure that many of you have discovered that these have adult-proof caps on them. So please feel free to be working on that as we prepare our hearts for communion. The same night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. When he had blessed it, he broke it. He gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat ye all of it in remembrance of me." The scripture tells us that likewise after supper, he took the cup. When he had blessed it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the remission of sins. Take and drink ye all of it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray now that you would help us, that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood, to go out and share with the lost and dying world. We'll give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 144. Number 144, "This Is My Father's World."
This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the this is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad.
Paul said in his letter to the Christians at Colossae, "As you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him." This morning, as you have received the emblems of the body and blood of Christ, may you leave this place to reveal the body and blood and love of Christ to a lost and dying world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.